Welcome into another edition of the Stripe Show podcast. It is Froggy Wednesdays, and today we are joined by, usually I go over the accomplishments of our players. Today, if I went over every accomplishment that this man has had on the PGA Tour, that'll be the entire podcast. So we'll start out with Mr. 58, 17-time PGA Tour winner, 2010 FedEx Cup champ, 2003 U.S. Open champion, and 2021 U.S. Senior Open champion, Jim Furyk. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
You know, we've all seen that video of where they're, I think they were introducing Tiger at the Tour Championship one year. And Phil, they were reading off all his wins, and Phil goes, okay, enough's enough. That's exactly what it would be like if I went over all your accomplishments.
I don't know about that. I did have a round. My rookie year, I got paired with Tom Watson on Sunday in Milwaukee. And in the old days, they went through your accomplishments on the first tee every day. We don't do that anymore on the PGA Tour. They might give you like FedEx Cup champion and that's it. You know, they give, right. give one thing. And they went through Tom Watson. He was up first. We were playing in a twosome. He was up first. And they went through every accomplishment. I mean, every major championship, every win on tour. It was amazing. It went on for like 60 seconds. And then here, you know, is this 23-year-old rookie and for a man of Pennsylvania, Jim Furyk. And I just started laughing. Like, you know, mine was about 2 seconds long. And I was like, well, that's the funniest thing I ever heard.
But you know what? You added to that nicely. I mean, you really did have an unbelievable and still having an unbelievable career that's lasted a long, long time.
It's been fun. I've been blessed and have stayed relatively healthy throughout my career. A couple surgeries. But for the most part, really haven't missed a lot of golf, been able to stay pretty healthy, and I still enjoy practicing. I'm still working hard and trying to get better.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into your longevity on tour because that's something that we don't see a lot of. And we see guys that like kind of get hot and then kind of fizzle off. And a lot of people don't know, and I'll give this stat again later on, the fourth all-time on the money list is Jim Furyk. Obviously, Tiger Woods, number one. Phil Mickelson, number two. You were at number three for a long, long time, and Dustin Johnson just passed to move into the third spot. And I think fifth is Vijay Singh, which you'll obviously stay ahead of him because you're still playing some tour events, as is he. But sixth place is a long way down, and it's unbelievable what you've accomplished in a long period of time. Being longevity really is something we don't see a lot of on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I think that was kind of early in my career when I joined the tour. My first couple of years, I had some great events. You know, I had knocked on the door trying to win in my rookie year a couple of times. I really felt like my game was good enough to hold up on the tour. It was good enough to win on the PGA Tour. But what I noticed was the great players, you know, they knocked on the door a lot more often. They were a lot more consistent. They did a lot more often. And so one of my goals early in my career was to become a more consistent player, to give myself more chances to win. And to kind of, you know, I think the first year I went out there, I played 31 events. I made 17 cuts, but I missed 14. So the goal was to make, not only make more cuts, but to get myself in the top 10 more, to knock on the door, to give myself a lot more chances on Sundays. And I went to work real hard with my dad as my teacher is, you know, how can I become a more consistent ball striker, a consistent player? And so that was one of my goals from the get-go. You know, as far as the longevity, I think, you know, a little bit of that is being able to stay healthy. I've been very fortunate there. I'm not sure exactly why I've stayed healthier than others, although I've paid a lot of attention to trying to keep, you know, my body in at least some sort of decent shape and worked a lot with a physical therapist here in town in Jacksonville and trying to stay as healthy as possible. I guess a lot of it, you know, I feel blessed that I've been able to. A lot of it's hunger, too, you know, really. You know, still having that drive, still having that want to go to the range to work on my game when, you know, when no one forces us to practice. So, you know, being out there working hard when no one's looking.
So did you watch any of the Olympics? As we have a gold medal winner here in the United States for the first time. We have a gold medal winner. So did you get a chance to watch much of the Olympics?
I didn't watch Sunday's round. I saw Saturday on replay. I saw Friday a little bit on replay. And then I woke up Sunday and read about what happened. And then at that point, you know, like everyone else, I like to watch sports live or at least not know what's going on.
Right.
So, but exciting, I think good for, you know, the Olympics is very new in golf. It's only the second time now. And, you know, since 100 years that we've had it, I think to have an exciting finish, you know, to have Sabo come in and shoot 10 under on Sunday and chase the gold medal. You got, you know, one of our own United States, have an X win is awesome. And then having a 7-way playoff for the bronze medal, with names like Rory McIlroy and, just incredible. And so right. to see, CT kind of come up on top was fun and very cool. But, I think it was an exciting event. My dad woke up that morning. I was talking on the phone and one of the first things he said was, please don't tell me what happened. I taped it and I want to watch it. And I said, well, I'll leave you with one thing. It's, you know, I read about it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be an enjoyable watch.
It really was good. But let me ask you a question. How do we get more American involvement, more interest? Do you think a team element in the Olympics would create, and maybe it's a mixed gender event? Is there a way we add more to get more American interest?
Well, help me out with where the lack of American interest was. Was that ratings? Was that where was the lack of interest?
I feel like it happening in the middle of the night, not being live. Obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
That was because of where it is. I mean, geographically, it was put at a disadvantage here in the U.S. But I just feel like America's more into our everyday PGA Tour events than we see that than they're into the Olympic events. And I'm wondering, how do we drive a little more interest and get people to be a little more interested?
Yeah, I think that's going to be time. I think seeing like Paul Casey, seeing Justin Rose, seeing Xander, you know, we have some Americans that were really excited, Bubba and Ricky and the guys that were really excited to go over there for the first time. It's going to take some time. We're conditioned to the Masters, you know, the four majors, the players, the PGA Tour every week. We're conditioned as, you know, I'll step out as fans of the game to the four major championships, to the Players Championship. And, you know, the Olympics was not something I ever grew up watching as far as golf is concerned, right? What I enjoyed about the Olympics was watching our amateurs compete, you know, getting that one shot, 4 years.
Right.
It's now or never. You know, you see the tears and the emotion when things don't go the way they want. You see the joy and the jubilation when they win gold. That was my idea of the Olympics. And so it's going to take a little time. I mean, I think we've got to give it a couple decades before it grows. And I think the players that go experience that, and when you listen to them talk about the Olympics, the Olympic experience, I mean, even McIlroy went over and was a little ho-hum about it, but then afterwards, I've never worked so hard to try to finish third place, you know, to get a medal, to represent your country. So I think we give it some time, and I think it'll grow. I think its importance will grow, and it's just relatively new. And I don't know, you tell me, like when I love basketball and football and baseball, but you know, it's not that I'm not interested in how the USA does in basketball, but are we treating that Olympic gold medal higher than we are the NBA championship? You know,
no,
I'm not so sure. So
no, you're right.
But it's still great to go represent your country, and golf's different. You know, it's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. I think, I think the experiences that those players that were able to go over and represent their country, they're going to come back just like they did 4 years ago. And they're going to look at everyone on tour and say, man, you're missing out. That was a really cool experience. That's something you're going to want to have. And it's going to grow. It's going to flourish. And I think that, you know, give it some time and that'll spread a little bit. And I think it'll spread to the fans as well.
Yeah. So we only wait 3 years. We get another one because this was supposed to be the 2020 Olympics, but the pandemic has delayed it. So we get another one in just 3 years. But Jim, you've been playing really, really well on the Champions Tour. You've got 3 wins. You won your first 2 events. You won now you've got your first major under your belt. What are the main differences that you're seeing from playing on the PGA Tour for so many years versus playing on the Champions Tour?
Yeah, I think there's a number of differences. I think first and foremost, we're playing 3 rounds events for the most part. Outside the major championships, outside our tour championship at the Charles Schwab, we're playing 3-round events. So a little less taxing. I'm riding a cart in you know, personally, I'm riding a cart in practice rounds and pro-ams because my amateurs are. It's a little less taxing on the body. But those 3-round events are track meets. You know, the tour is a little bit more of a marathon. You've got 4 rounds. You can afford to have a little bit of a tough 9 holes, or, you know, you go out there and shoot even or 1 over for 9 holes. You do that on the Champions Tour, you're kind of behind the 8 ball. It's a birdie fest. Guys are winning scores every week or, you know, 12 to 16, 17 under par, for 3 rounds. So you feel like you shoot even 1 under, 2 under, you know, you've just moved over and passing lane, there's cars flying by every week. So it's a little bit of a birdie fest. It's a little bit of a shootout. I enjoy it. And I'd say the golf courses, there's some things that even surprised me, being in the know, being a tour player. Golf courses are longer than I expected, but obviously not nearly as long as a PGA Tour event. But we're playing close to 7,000 yards every week. A lot of golf courses in the sevens. That feels great. Like, I got to know my wedge, 9 and 8 iron really well again, which I miss those guys a lot for the last few years. me and my 4 iron have become way too close. I'm tired of talking to them, to be honest with you. So I got a lot more short irons in my hand. I'd say another surprise is the green speeds, honestly, on the Champions Tour are very similar. They're the same as they are on the PGA Tour. I was stunned by that. I expected slower green speeds. The difference you see is, I think we see some pins that are a little farther off the edge of the greens. We don't see a lot of threes, fours, and fives. We see a lot of fives, sixes, and sevens. What that does is it allows you, I've got a shorter iron in my hand. It allows me to be a lot more aggressive, fire at more pins, give myself more birdie opportunities. And also, if I happen to short side myself, if I happen to miss it on the right side, I've got a little bit more opportunity for recovery and getting the ball up and down. And that's kind of the big difference you see in scoring. A little shorter golf courses. I mean, guys like Darren Clark, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, they are still bombing it. They're still hitting the ball 300 yards and capable of hitting it 300 yards in the air at times. So they're still bombing the ball, but the big difference in the scoring is the length of the golf courses and green and the pin location sitting a little farther from the edges. That allows us to get real aggressive and make a bunch of birdies.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent on the Champions Tour. Like, they think guys go over there and they're just kind of mailing it in. That's not the case. If you watch a Champions Tour event, those guys are scoring.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like, my first event was in Flint, Michigan last year, the Ally. And, you know, I showed up, and after the first round, I looked, and the driving range there is massive. And it is covered with players from left to right. You know, and there's this idea that after the round, everyone goes in and gets a glass of wine and a beer, and we all hang out. You know, shoot the breeze. And I started laughing. I go, yeah, nobody practices out here. I mean, chipping greens full of guys, or driving ranges full of guys, the putting greens full of guys. And I was like, okay, these, you know, they're working a little bit harder than everyone gives them credit for. And it's, you see that, because you're not going to go shoot 14 under par without work.
Right, exactly. Now, Jim, as you know, we're kind of winding down the PGA Tour season. We've got, 2 weeks left in the regular, and then we'll start the playoffs, and then comes the Ryder Cup. And so I definitely want to talk to you about Ryder Cup. You were the 2018 captain. And as you know, the team atmosphere is super, super important as far as being a Ryder Cup player, because you've been on both sides. You've been on the playing side. You've been on the captain side. How important is that team element in building a team before they go out and play?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think the captain kind of sets the tone. I look back to our last successful Ryder Cup was at Hazeltine. Davis Love did a great job of kind of setting the tone early, giving guys an idea expectation-wise what they could expect when they arrived in Minnesota. And I think he got a lot of guys buying in early, which is really key. You want to get your best players, you know, your leaders buying in early. And if you can do that, a team atmosphere is very easy and very easy to come by. And I think it's a huge, huge benefit, especially on Friday and Saturday, when you're in your four ball and your foursome matches.
Now, obviously this year, Stricker has a really, he's got some big decisions to make, like every captain does, much like you did as well. But we've got the Brooks and the Bryson drama going on. And obviously they're probably both going to be on this Ryder Cup team. They're both going to qualify. I don't think either one will have to be its captain's pick, but even if they did, you definitely, they're both amazing players. You'd want them on the team. Would you have any advice if asked for Steve Stricker on how to handle these two personalities that seem to really be at odds with each other?
Well, I think we're all going to talk about that as captains. I mean, you got Davis Love and Zach Johnson and Stricker and I so far. It's going to come up. It's every interview I've done and every time the Ryder Cup's been mentioned, that's basically the first question. And just as you asked, it is a team game. It is 12 players on one team, but you don't have to pair Brooks and Bryson together, right?
You
don't have to
play football. Would you? Or I mean, you wouldn't, right?
No, you would never do that. I don't think it's a good idea right now. And do I think they can play together? I do. Do I think it's a good idea to put them together? Absolutely not. I don't foresee that being an issue in the locker room. I felt like both of those players for me were two of my easiest guys. I had no worries with Brooks in the locker room. I had no worries with Bryson in the locker room. Brooks was always that guy that, Yeah, he'll look you in the eye and he'll say, hey, people get this idea that I'm going to be a trouble, that I'm going to be a problem. He goes, man, I love these team events. I was built for these. I love them. I can't tell you how excited I am to be on this Ryder Cup team and represent my country. And he goes, man, you just point the direction and I'll do whatever you need. If that's 3 matches, 5 matches, I don't care. I'm going to give you my 110%. Bryson the same way, you know, a guy that, you know, Bryson does things a little differently. You know, he's got a different set of golf clubs. He attacks a golf course from a much more science orientation. So you're always trying to, you pair guys that, you know, you're looking at the equipment they use, the golf ball they use, the style of play. You're trying to find folks. You're also looking at personalities and trying to match guys personality wise well. So, you know, we'll find guys that are fit perfectly for all our players, for all 12, and put out our best, you know, 4 to 6 matches. You know, well, it'll be 4 each session, but we'll get matchups so that we have our 4 best on the golf course at all times. And I don't foresee it being a problem, but I actually love the chatter and I love to talk about it and I love the doubt. And anytime you get, there's a little doubt out there. Anytime there's, you point a finger and tell me I can't do it. You tell Brooks, you tell Bryson, they can't do it. They're going to try to prove you wrong because they're competitors. And so I love that. I love the fact that they're getting questioned.
Yeah, I do too. I like all the extra talk around the game. I know some people don't, but I think it's great. You know, you mentioned something that I've wanted to ask people before is the different golf ball that they play. And so in a team event, let's say, you know, one guy plays one brand of golf ball, another guy plays another brand. Golf balls are different, and especially at that level. Is that something that goes into like, hey, these guys would be better together because they both play the same golf ball?
Well, it's part of the equation. It's part of, like I said, it's a big puzzle. Like you can take in personalities, you can take in equipment, you can take in just how the games mesh and maybe how they mesh for each golf course, right? You got a short, tight golf course. You probably don't want two long, wild guys paired together in a foursome match. So the foursomes where the golf ball comes into play, it's in the foursome matches, the alternate shot. Usually I'll hit my partner's ball off the tee so that he has that ball in the fairway, hopefully the fairway to hit at the green. Right. There's times where, you know, I always played kind of a high spin golf ball. I Tiger played a ball that spun a lot. Freddie Couples has always played a ball that was kind of a high launch, low spin. You know, that's a hard, you know, I think back to a President's Cup where Tiger and Freddie got paired together and they're good friends. They get along great. Everything seems to match, but Freddie really struggled with Tiger's golf ball and he geared his driver for a high launch, low spin ball, and Tiger had a low launch, high spin ball. They flipped partners that week and gave me Tiger for the rest of the week. And I had no problem adjusting because his ball and mine were very, very similar. And he had no problem with mine. But I've been out there with guys that played real low spin golf balls and they tried to partner me up with them. And I struggled from a driver perspective because I didn't create enough speed. I didn't create enough spin to keep that ball in the air. And so on the fly, I either had to make adjustments to my driver by adding loft, or I had to look at the captain and say, man, I can't play this golf ball. It's putting us in a negative situation this week.
Right. That is a big deal. So looking back on 2018, is there anything that you would have changed? Obviously hindsight's always 2020. Is there anything you would do different in your captaincy that if you had it to do over again?
That's my favorite question. And I would have to be, pardon my French. No,
go ahead.
But I would have to be the biggest giant asshole in the world to say no. No, I wouldn't do anything different. I'd send it out there the same exact way and just expect a different result. I'd have to be the biggest asshole on the planet to say something like that.
So, and you're not. So.
So, of course, I would do things differently. Of course, I would look top to bottom. And I have. I mean, I've had to relive, not that there's ever going to be any closure, but we haven't had another Ryder Cup now for 3 years instead of two. Right. I spent the first 12 months. I felt like I woke up every morning and it was on my mind. What could I have done differently? How could I have done that better? What situations would I have changed? And I look at everything from top to bottom. And I look at the way the golf course was set up. I look at the way we attacked the golf course. I would have done things differently, of course. I would have set some different pairings differently. I would have set lineups a little bit differently. At the end of the day, if you lose, you're going to be second guessed. And I understand that. And I'm going to second guess myself and what I could do. So we're all going to learn from those lessons. You know, I have notes and things that I would have changed and done differently. I'll share those with Strick. I'll share those with Davis and Zach. We'll build together as a team and as a program going forward. And we'll, you know, you're going to learn. I think there's a lot we can learn from Hazeltine. There's a lot of things we did well. And we had success. I think we probably learn even more from some of the failures and not playing well, and doing our jobs in Paris. And I, you know, I have, and always will. I'll take the brunt of the responsibility for that. I was the captain. I'm the ones that sent him out there. And you know, I feel like I could have and should have done a better job, but you know, we'll learn from that. We'll move on, and I'll help the next captain. And hopefully we see some success this year.
Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Improve your golf swing today. Pro level launch data in the palm of your hand. It is very accurate, within 2% of a $20,000 unit. The Rapsodo MLM app automatically tracks stats and stores video with Shot Tracer, helpful for club gapping and understanding true distances for each club. Rapsodo MLM provides immediate feedback data and creates a better practice environment, not mindlessly hitting balls. Extremely portable, cases about the size of a rangefinder. And you know what? You can use it both indoors and outdoors. I love this launch monitor. It's the Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Check it out at rapsodo.com, RAPSODO.com, rapsodo.com.
Well, I want you to know that I met you, I think, for the first time. I met you at TPC one day. I was lucky enough to be playing golf with somebody from our company, iHeartRadio, and then I was also playing with Luke Bryan and Cole Swindell. We were playing. Their show was that night. And as we were walking into the dining room, we all looked at each other. You were ahead of us, and everybody goes, "Do not bring up the Ryder Cup, okay?" I'm like, "Okay, I won't, nobody said anything." So nobody did, but I had wanted to, when I was making my questions for the interview, I'm like, "It's safe now to at least ask him, hey, would you do something different?" I'm not going to be the first person that's ever asked him that.
So no, you're definitely by that time, I'd already done 18 interviews and answered all the questions, and I was well versed on that question at that point, so it wouldn't have been a big deal. And you know, I'm proud I got the opportunity again. It'll always be one of those, you know. I think the thorn in my side for my career is that, you know, I competed on so many Ryder Cup teams. We had two wins, you know, with Brookline and at Valhalla, and then I was part of a captaincy that won at Hazeltine, helping Davis Love out. So but we went through a lot of different losses in that time, and so right. As a player, as a captain, you know, that's one part I look back on my career and I wish there was a different result. There isn't, but I know that I gave it 100%. I know that it's my favorite event. I love it. I probably put a little too much pressure on myself during that event. I probably didn't play as well as I would have liked to. And of course, as a captain, I would have changed a few things, but you know, you live, you learn, you move on. It's, you know, it'll be one of those things that, if I were to be honest, it's going to bother me forever, but it's part of life.
But you got a chance to build on it. Your group of captains this year is amazing. Stricker, you, Zach Johnson, Davis Love. There's a lot of golf brilliance in that room. There's a lot of golf experience, and I think that that's really going to help lead the talent pool that we have, which I always feel, and maybe I'm a little biased because I am an American, I always feel like our talent pool's a little better than what we're going up against. Sometimes things don't always go our way, but with this captaincy and the talent pool that we'll have, I think we've got a very, very good chance this year.
Yeah, I do too. I think that, you know, every home captain, well, every captain's got, you know, quite a few worries, but, you know, a home captain, one, gets to think about the golf course. How do we want the golf course set up? You know, and of course, we're going to try to set it up to favor our team, just like they did right in Paris. They set up a very short, tight, heavy, rough, slow greens. You know, they set the golf course up as they like to see it, as they usually see it. And then you're looking at captain's picks, and Strick's got a lot of pressure this year. He's got six captain's picks, where we've had four in the past. And 20 years ago, it was two. So Strick's got six captain's picks. And then you've got pairings. How do I put the guys out? How do I mesh them? Where do I put them out? In what formats? And with what players? And so, you know, those are the three things that he really has to worry about. But first and foremost, it's going to be golf course setup, and then captain's picks, then pairings, in that order. And so, you know, I think the one thing the Europeans have done very, very well is that they've played, they're going to always have more experience on their home course than we have on ours. And the reason why is they usually play that event on a golf course where they've had a European Tour event. So you look at Le Golf National, great golf course, love it. It'd be perfect for my game, short and tight. They had 288 tournament rounds for their team around that golf course. We had eight. So no experience. When you go to a golf course like Whistling Straits, it's a major championship venue. And you got to think, a lot of the European Tour pros are already, even if we pick, say, the Phoenix Open and we pick TPC and Scottsdale at the event, they would have a lot of players that have just as much experience around that course because they're members of our tour as well. So we have to realize going into it that, you know, going to Europe, we're definitely in a disadvantage on the road and they have more experience around the golf course. How do we combat that? How do we fix that? How do we, you know, do we get our guys over there early to play practice rounds? Do we, you know, we try to get them some experience around the golf course. I think Italy 2 years from now provides us a great opportunity because they have yet to play. They ran into some issues as far as zoning, permitting, whatever it may be. The golf course was late to build. They've already should have played some Italian Opens there, have not. And so they're going to go into that tournament with the least amount of experience they've ever had on their home turf. Of course, they'll set the golf course up to favor their team if they can, but still not as much experience. And I think that's a feather in our cap, and that gives us an opportunity to go to Italy and maybe turn the tide. And in order for us to turn the tide in the Ryder Cup, we're going to have success on European soil. That's something we haven't done in over 25 years.
Yeah, you know, you bring up the pairings and the two guys that fit together. I feel like, and you've probably seen it happen, the tour has turned into more of a distance game than an accuracy game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a very safe assumption. I think that when you look at shots gained driving, distance is far more important than accuracy.
But like, for example, in 2020, you led the tour in fairways hit and you led the tour in greens and regulation, but yet did not make the FedEx Cup playoffs. So at what point does...
Probably means I didn't play very well, just say that.
I didn't want to say that. At what point does trying to gain distance hurt you when you are losing accuracy, if you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think it's going to be golf course dependent. I think... you know, it's going to be on the golf course setup. I think there's been a definite in the last 11 years since we changed, since the groove rule changed, there's definitely been a push on the PGA Tour for lower rough, a little wider fairways, pins cut closer to the edge. I'm not sure exactly why. I think now, you know, 8 years ago, I heard a lot more complaints that the rough's too high, the fairways are too narrow, the game's too limiting. I think now if you polled 100 players, you'd hear a lot more gripes that the rough's too low, fairways are too wide, you can hit it anywhere. It's kind of a bomber's paradise. You know, trying to find that happy medium is difficult, but I think you always have venues, you know, your Hartfords, your Colonials, Harbor Towns, Innisbrook. You have enough courses where accuracy is still a premium. You have to get the ball in the fairway to compete. But it's farther and few between than when I started joining the tour. So yeah, it's been a little bit of a distance race. And where does it start to hurt you? I think when, you know, I guess Rory, you know, McIlroy, in my mind, you know, if not the most talented guy in the game of golf, definitely a top three, definitely a top five. You know, I don't even think that's arguable. And he's talked recently about, you know, changing teachers and maybe focusing so much on distance that it's now taken away from his game. And I think when you get when you start lacking control of the golf ball, you start stop. You know, there's always this blend and this idea. I grew up in an era where I wanted my driver and my iron swing to be very, very similar. So that, and now it seems like guys have possibly two swings. There's a swing for their driver. There's a swing for their irons. You know, I guess your scores at the end, ultimately, I don't know how to answer the question. You know, if you grow up, you know, if I was teaching a 5-year old to play right now, honestly, I'd be teaching them to hit as far as they possibly could and a chip and putt. You know, if you can do those three things, we'll teach you the rest later. But the idea of kind of like the knockdown six iron, hitting a cut around a bunker, like that shot just doesn't come into play that often that we really have to worry about it all that much. So, but I guess scores ultimately, you know, scores tell you if your scoring average is going down and then your chase for distance isn't hurting you. But if your scoring average is going up, then that's the case. I think guys have gotten so long now that they can hit it in the rough, they still have a short iron into the green, even if it's a 500 yard par four. I'm not that guy. So chasing distance for me isn't that good, because if I hit my driver in the rough at 270, I still got 230 to the green on a 500. You know, there's no iron in the world that I'm hitting 230 out of the rough onto a green. So it's still important for me to hit fairways. But if you can fly it far enough, it's not really that important.
Now, moving forward, will we see you obviously see you more on the Champions Tour than we do on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I played a lot on the PGA Tour early this year until May 1. And then when the Champions Tour schedule kind of hit its stride, I switched over. I enjoy Champions Tour. I love playing out there. Love competing with some old friends. Like getting in contention a little bit more often and having some more opportunities to win. But I really enjoy
that second place at the Players just a couple years ago. I mean, you were right there in the thick of it.
I've had my chances, but not nearly as many. And I've enjoyed my time on the Champions Tour. I feel like it's a good time for me to predominantly play that tour and maybe cherry pick a few PGA Tour events here and there to play. So, you know, I still like competing. I still enjoy the game, but, you know, it's probably time to turn the page and for me to play the Champions Tour and for that tour to be really, really successful. It's great that I look out there and I see, you know, so many great names in the world of golf, have kind of turned the page, and now all the guys I kind of grew up playing with, we're on the Champions Tour together. And, you know, it's fun to see like an Ernie Els, you know, really commit to the Champions Tour, because that name carries a lot of weight and it carries a lot of viewership, and it gives our tour a lot of credibility.
Yeah. And I definitely want to talk in just a second about your event coming up, which has an amazing field as well. I mean, you're really bringing in some big names into your event here in Jacksonville. But I saw a piece the other day put out, I don't know if it was by the PGA Tour or who it was by, about your caddy Fluff. And these are some unbelievable numbers. 1,110 tournaments, 3,900 rounds, 20,000 miles walked, and 7.6 times across the United States Fluff has toted that bag. That is absolutely unbelievable.
Pretty crazy. And Mike loves, he loves what he does. He loves caddying for a living. He loves showing up for work every day. I think that attitude, reflects in his work. It reflects on me. It's always nice to have someone that's excited about what he does. And, he enjoys it. He's a heck of a caddy, and he's been a good friend for a lot of years. He's been on my bag since April of 99. So it's been over 22 years.
So how many, obviously the trust factor there has to be off the charts, absolutely through the roof and what you trust. How many times would you credit Fluff with pulling you off of a shot or making a change or doing this or doing that and it being a successful difference?
We talk about it. So, you know, Fluff might have a bad read. He might see right edge and I see a ball or two out, and you know, he might have a bad read, but I still want his opinion. Right. And I still want, it might be opposite. You know, I might've had the bad read and he has the correct. Ultimately, I look at it as this way, like you should never blame your caddy on a bad shot. I'm the CEO. I'm the guy that, I have to pull the trigger. I have to make the ultimate decision. And so at the end of the day, I kind of have to blame myself. You know, it's on me if things don't go wrong, but he's there to provide a lot of assistance. And if he has a different opinion, he has to speak up, and then we have to kind of talk about it, and he has to back up why his opinion is different. And we'll talk through it. Sometimes, you know, he'll say, I wasn't thinking that way. Or maybe I'm just, you know, I have a certain day where hitting the ball hard isn't really in the cards. I don't feel comfortable and I want to hit some knockdowns. But we talk about it. I get his opinion, and yes, I value it very much because he's been there for 22 years. He's seen me play and probably, probably knows my game right now better than he knows his own. So, so it's a fun working experience.
So coming up in less than 2 months, we've got the brand new event, the Constellation Furyk and Friends event on the Champions Tour. And I mean, this field is unbelievable. October 4th through October 10th at Temecula Country Club here in Jacksonville. You're doing a Darius Rucker concert as well. Lots of money benefiting charity. But we're going to see you. We'll see Ernie Els. I know Phil's on the list. John Daly, Vijay Singh. So many great players that you're able to bring in and really have a huge event that's starting off brand new, a baby event in its infancy stage, but yet will grow to be something very, very large on the Champions Tour.
The nice thing about our tour is we don't really spread ourselves too thin. You know, the PGA Tour may have 48 different weeks. And you look at it that, you know, Dustin Johnson might play in 23 tournaments a year. We only have about 28 events on the Champions Tour. So most of our guys play each and every week. They may take a week off here and there, but you kind of see the same field at each and every stop. And that's really strong for our title sponsors, strong for our fans, for television, that you have, you know, the best players over 50 playing together each and every week. And so, you know, when folks ask me who's coming to your event, I was like, well, everyone's coming to the event. You know, you see most of the best players. You know, we're over 50. You see some injuries. You know, Freddie Couples doesn't play every event. He plays about 12 a year. We have Freddie coming. Strick doesn't play that many as much anymore, but I'm going to twist some arms and lean on Strick as much as possible. Phil's always up in the air. You know, I guess the commercial, what will Phil do next? We never know. So he's only ever played in three Champions Tour events. Total in his career. So I'm not sure he's quite ready to turn the page. And that PGA Championship probably didn't do us any favors on the Champions Tour. It did favors that he'll stay off the Champions Tour more, but we would love to see him out there. And, you know, he would help our ratings a ton. But the great news about it is we have great fields every week. And these guys realize that they have a second lease on life, right? They have a second opportunity. They're great door sponsors. They're great in pro-ams. And once you're 50 years old, you kind of realize what makes each and every tournament work. And you got to grease the wheels a little bit, and you got to be nice to those that made those events possible. And the guys do a good job of that. So we're excited about the event. Temecula is an unbelievable venue, a great golf course. You know, I think it's a little bit of a hidden gem in Jacksonville, but it's not going to be hidden for too much longer. And we've got a great title sponsor in Constellation Energy. Circle Gate, a presenting sponsor. We're really blessed. We have the ability to put out a wonderful product. I think the fans are going to love it. Lots of food, drink, fun. We're going to create an atmosphere out there that's going to be second to none on the Champions Tour. And so we hope everyone comes out and enjoys it. And with that, we're going to raise a lot of money for our community, and it's going to give us an opportunity to do that. So special thanks to Darius Rucker. It'll be his third time at our event. He's supported us through thick and thin, and we appreciate it. And Scotty McCreary is going to kick off the concert for him. Scotty's a wonderful guy, and he's been to our event now. I think this will be his third time. So we're excited. We have it's a full week. I feel bad for Tabitha. Tabitha and our team, Adam Renfro is our tournament director. we have a pro-am on Monday, a concert on Tuesday, pro-ams on Wednesday, Thursday, three tournament rounds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a busy week. So we're looking forward to it.
Now, you as a tournament host, Jim, how much effect will you have on the setup of the golf course without Temecula having held a Champions event in the, you know?
Not a lot. What we're blessed is it's a great golf course. The superintendent there, Alan Brown, is a superstar. He'll have a golf course in perfect shape. And then the PGA Tour does a lot of that. Our setup staff, they'll have a staff. They're already talking to Alan. Looking at how they want the golf course to play and feel. I'm sure our staff will go in and be a little conservative, I'm guessing, in year one. I think you'll see some decent scoring, kind of see what we have in the golf course.
Right.
And then you can kind of, you know, turn the screws down, make some adjustments for year two and after. But it's a wonderful golf course, and I don't have much to do with setup. If our rules officials, if our team at the PGA Tour has any questions, I'm there to answer it. I know the golf course better than anyone right now, being a member there, but really they haven't reached out too much. I think they understand the golf course they've got. And honestly, Alan is one of the best in the business. So we're blessed to have him.
It's going to be a fun event too, because the way the golf course is laid out, the hospitality options there at 16, 17 and 18 will be unmatched. So it really will be a fun event. It's an event for the whole family. Like Jim said, you can go to the Darius Rucker and Scotty McCreery concert. That's on Tuesday night And then anything you want, tickets, information, everything is available right now at ConstellationFuricandFriends.com. You can go there, get your tickets, and get everything you need to know. But it is going to be a fun event and something else good in Jacksonville. We've always just had the players and not really had another tournament that's been a stalemate here in Jack. So it'll be good to have something else that we can lean on at a different time of year. It's in October. Weather should be perfect. It really is going to be a great event.
Yeah, we couldn't be more excited. And I think you touched on a lot of great points. Weather in October should be phenomenal. Yep. I guess we'll hope for no hurricanes. We'll hope for that.
Exactly.
But it's in a different part of town. It's in Jacksonville. We haven't had a PGA Tour event in Jacksonville for, I don't know, 50, 60 years.
Right.
And so to kind of move to a different part of town to showcase our city. Our city's a lot prettier and a lot more beautiful than people give it credit for with the city skyline, the beautiful St. John's River. We're going to use a little bit of that river waterway. You can take some water taxis at a golf course you'd like. There's some exciting stuff, and we're partnering a little bit with NAS Jax right next to us. They're helping us out quite a bit, and we have a little bit of military outreach in our fundraising as well. And so we're excited. We've got a lot of great partners. And as you said, the cool thing about this golf course, we're going to have a couple different areas. Circle K's got kind of a party porch set up out there behind. We're flipping the nines. So I've got kind of trying to get everyone to think about number nine is our number 18 for the tournament.
Oh, okay.
Number one is our number 10, but Circle K is going to be behind what's now two. It'll be our 11th hole and to the left of the seventh, which is usually 16. Our huge set, as you mentioned, that 16, 17, 18 is going to have a lot of cabanas.
Wow.
Kind of a sports bar mentality set up there. It's football season. It's Jacksonville, you know, SEC, Jaguars. So we're going to have some big screen TVs. You're going to watch football games, maybe have a cocktail or two or three. And enjoy your time. And Tim Aquinas set up where there's little routings and spokes. So you never, you know, you can go 2, 3, 4 holes of watching golf and come right back to your central locating, you know, party areas and have a good time. We know everyone's out there, you know, everyone's out there to enjoy themselves and have a good time. Sometimes the golf is secondary in that. It's the vehicle that brings everyone out, but we want everyone to enjoy themselves.
It is fun. So make sure you get your tickets. Once again, it's fun for the whole family. Bring everybody. It's a week of good times. It is ConstellationFuricandFriends.com for your tickets. Once again, October 4th through the 10th. It's a whole week of festivities. It'll be here before you know it. So go ahead and get your tickets. But Jim, thank you so much. I know the charitable impact here on Northeast Florida is huge. I know that's extremely important to you. And I know that myself and everybody else, thank you for all you do for the city that you've called home for many, many years.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and especially about talking about the event. We're excited.
Absolutely. So we've got the FedEx St. Jude and the Barracuda this week. Next week, the final tournament of the PGA Tour regular season. We'll have Wyndham Clark on next week as he's playing in the Wyndham, trying to up his chances of being a little bit higher up in the FedEx Cup points as we hit the playoffs. And then, of course, before you know it, the season will be over. We'll have the Ryder Cup, so many other good events. It's like golf never stops, man, which is that's why I love our sport. It just keeps going and going and going. We don't really have that long of a down season.
I agree. It's 48 weeks on the PGA Tour. That's a lot of golf.
It is a lot of golf.
48 events, maybe 43 weeks, but it's a lot of golf.
It is. It's unbelievable. But thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And once again, get your tickets. We'll see you here in Jacksonville at ConstellationFuricandFriends.com. Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate you being on the Stripe Show podcast.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
I just want to interrupt this interview real quick and give a shout out to my friends over at Encore Golf. Encore provides some of the most cutting edge technology in a golf ball that I have ever seen. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through their perimeter weighted designs, which offer players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course. With their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show.